Well, good morning and God bless you, Valley Brook and friends. What a delight to have you with us on this lovely July 19th. It is a blessing to gather in the name of the Lord. I want to thank our brother Stephen Curtis Chapman for those wonderful selections, Hiding Place and His Strength is Perfect. And we're going to be talking about His perfect strength today. But right now we're going to have the pleasure and the delight of having my lovely wife, Sister Sweetheart, also known as Laverne, to come and give us the announcements and the offertory prayer.
Good morning, Valley Brook family and friends. Welcome to Sunday, July the 19th, 2020. We want to give a special welcome to all of our first-time visitors today. We are happy that you have chosen to worship with us here at Valley Brook. Click on the link below to access our first-time visitor card and take a few minutes to complete it. You may also find this form on our streaming page after the sermon. This will help us to pray for you and to notify you of future Valley Brook events. Praise reports, prayer requests, and sick and shut-in reports. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request e-card located under the Pastor's Corner tab, or also on the streaming tab on our website, and we'll be sure to lift you up. Also, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have a prayer conference call. The phone number and access code are listed on our website's homepage, as well as in today's bulletin. Offering. We may contribute your regular tithes and offerings on our website through our giving tab, or you may mail it in to our office address as listed in the back of the bulletin. And thank you to each and every one of you. Valley Brook family, you have been just wonderful in submitting your offerings and your tithes and offerings. Thank you for making sure that all of the bills of our building, even though we cannot meet there, are still paid. Because of you, you are all a blessing. The drive-through fish fry. Our drive-through fish fry will be on Saturday, August the 22nd. If you are a newsletter subscriber, you will receive a list of what needs are there and to make this event happen. If you do not wish to subscribe to our newsletter, please reach out to Carla Marie and she will be happy to supply you with that list. Outreach efforts. Although personal distribution of the blessing bags is not possible at this time, there are still plenty of other ways for you to participate in that effort so that we can show others that the Lord is still faithful to them. These ways include praying for the success of our mission, supporting our efforts financially so that we are able to purchase the items necessary to put in those bags. And you may write a short note to let them know that the Lord is faithfully walking next to them. If you write notes, please mail them out to Jean and Dave Parented at their residence. Men and Women's Monthly Virtual Meetings. Our men and women's monthly virtual ministry meetings will be this coming Saturday, July the 25th. If you would like to receive an invite to that Zoom meeting, please reach out to the respective ministry leaders and they will send them to you once available. That's Flamina Barnes for the women's ministry and that's Brian Davis for the men's ministry. Access to our bulletin. Please reference this morning's bulletin for our scripture reading and for more complete information about the Valley Brook happenings. You may access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and click on the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. As you access your virtual bulletin this morning, you may take a look at it for our scripture reading this morning. Our scripture reading this morning will be from Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And I'll give you a few moments, a few seconds actually, so that you can look those up in your Bible if you're not planning to use the virtual bulletin. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray. Holy Father, we've been coming before you now for at least 4 months, Lord, praying about this pandemic crisis that none of us could have really anticipated. We didn't know, Lord, that we would live through something that the world had not seen for in quite this way for the last 100 years. So, Father, we just ask, as it feels like it's encroaching closer, closer, day by day, we ask, Lord, that you continue to be with us. Give us your peace. Continue to give us your guidance. Continue to protect us and care for us, Lord. For Lord, I thank you for what you have done right here in this household, the protections you've given, the mildness of the cases that you brought before us. You didn't have to do that, Lord, but you did. And we thank you. Father, as the schools begin to try to consider what to do about opening up, what's safe, what isn't, returning to work for those who've lost employment, Lord, bless them, Lord. Bless them. I thank you, Lord, for the schools that have been able to continue to provide meals to families through this time. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Father, and we just ask that you continue to guide us and lead us. And all the while, Lord, as we face various situations, because the rest of life has not stopped just because of the pandemic. There's still economic issues and family issues and work issues, Lord, and we just need you all around. We still look to you, God. We still know that you have not forgotten us. Oh, thank you for the glory, Lord, of knowing that indeed you know us by name, that you know every hair on our head, every worry, every concern that we have, every joy that we've had, even in this distressing time. So we look to you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you've sent preachers and teachers to continue through this time, Lord, to tell us what thus saith the Lord. So we look forward this morning, Lord, to what you've given my husband and my best friend and my pastor to share with us today. I ask that you have our hearts tender and our ears pricked for hearing your word, God. What thus saith the Lord, because we need to hear from you. And so, Lord, we ask that you continue to use all that we go through, the good times and the bad, the stressful times and the easy, to continue, Lord, to help us to know you better, to continue, Lord, to help us to reveal our gifts, to continue, Lord, to help us to learn to love one another deeper, more. We thank you. We praise you. We look forward to every day with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning once again, Valley Brook Community Church and friends, and thank you, Sister Sweetheart, for that lovely prayer, appropriate prayer, sincere prayer, necessary prayer. After this morning's message, we will be blessed by Brother George Clanton, who will be offering a worship offering for us to the Lord that we can all join in and celebrate the goodness of the Lord through. This morning's message is going to come from the book of Philippians. So you can turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read several verses from this amazing chapter. The whole book of Philippians is just a glory. It's a joyful book. Just as a quick overview while you're turning to Philippians, the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul from Rome while he was in prison there in about 61 or 62 AD. And this is one of the epistles that has not been written because of a distressing or a crisis situation in a church. It is a thank you letter to these believers who were generous in their material possessions in sharing them with Paul while he is in prison. And the passage that we're going to read is his response to their generosity, or one section of his response to their generosity. So we're in the book of Philippians, we're in chapter 4, we're looking at verse 10, and we're going to read through verse 13. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Amen. I can certainly relate to Paul's joy as he penned these words to these dear believers, because all of you have been, as my wife mentioned, in terms of your prayers and your support, you have just been so caring and loving and supportive to us as we've dealt with this virus. And we bless God that it has been mild in its effect upon us, and that Laverne and I are both negative as far as our latest testing goes. But you've just been so caring and supportive and giving to us. And so I understand the heart from which he penned these words. When you're surrounded by a loving group of believers who express their love in such personal and generous ways, it does create a geyser of joy and of gratitude. And that is the spirit from which Paul is writing these words. So I can relate to the first part here of this passage that we read, but I want to focus this morning on verses 12 and 13 in particular, verses 12 and 13. If you're taking notes, here's the evocative, provocative, if you will, sermon title. Don't hold your breath waiting on God. Don't hold your breath waiting on God. Now, that could be said in a couple of ways. Child, don't hold your breath waiting on God. That's not the spirit with which I mean it. I mean, don't hold your breath while waiting on God. There's something else you can do. Instead of sitting there with your lungs collapsed and your face turning red or blue, there's something else you can do while you're waiting on God besides holding your breath. So don't hold your breath waiting on God. If you're looking for a main idea, here it is. Open your eyes. Open your eyes to what you have and breathe. Open your eyes to what you have and breathe. This morning's message really is inspired by a meditation that I have personally been benefiting from all week long, and I penned most of it in this past week's meditation in our newsletter, which I call The View from My Place. And so I want to review that for those of you who read it, and for those of you who did not have a chance to read it, I want to orient you to where the rest of this message is coming from. It comes from this devotional piece that I wrote on Wednesday. Imagine life for a moment. Imagine life is the ocean, and all of us are trying to stay afloat by treading water. All of our plans, all of our resources, all of our energy directed towards keeping our heads above water. And what I mean by keeping our heads above water is, you know, keeping our jobs, keeping our stuff, keeping our health, and in these days, you know, keeping our sanity. But those who tread consistently and keep their heads above the water are considered successful. Those who get tired or are pulled under are the losers or the unfortunate. Now, in this paradigm, in this way of looking at it, our view of God's faithfulness is determined by the help he provides to keep us afloat, because that's the goal of life, is to stay above water. So when we go under, we desperately thrash and gasp, calling out for help. And when he lifts us above the surface once again, as he often does, we cough out the water that we've swallowed and we gasp, "Thank you, Jesus." But what if God wants to show us something else? What if he wants to reveal to us wonders under the water? What if he wants to give us the ability to remain peacefully beneath the waves and open our eyes to attributes of himself we would never have experienced above the water? What if he wants to help us to be amphibious through our faith in him? What if he wants us to know that he's under the water with us, that we're not alone? And beyond that, what if he wants to help us to supernaturally breathe under the water through himself? A dear sister sang, "It is well with my soul," to us this morning. That would have been last Wednesday. What if, instead of it being a sad lament of resignation, What if the spirit of that famous hymn could be, wow, I can't believe it. I'm under the water and it's well with my soul. I'm not thrashing. I'm not gasping. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but I'm secure. I'm confident. I'm full. I'm at peace. I'm grateful. God is present and as caring and as marvelous under the water as he is above it. Wow. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. My soul rests with fatness. My soul is satisfied. The scriptures promise us it can be so. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, wrote the Apostle Paul as he breathed under the waters of imprisonment. So can we. But let us remember the difference between gasping and exalting is not in our lung capacity or in our treading powers. It's in our trust in Him. That's what I wrote on Wednesday, and that is the basis for this morning's message. Hallelujah for God being under the water with us. Praise the Lord when He lifts us up from the waves. Let me say that there is absolutely nothing wrong with asking Him to pull us up and to keep us up. That's normal. That's human. That's where life was intended to be lived in a natural sense. So there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, help me, as Peter said. Lord, help me, as so many said. Lord, help me. And the Lord was pleased to help them. And He said, call on me in the day of trouble. So when we go down this road, I don't want you to be mistaken that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with calling out to the Lord or feeling like we're gasping when we're under the water. That is natural. But above the water, quote unquote, above the water is not the only version of deliverance that is available to us in Christ. I want to say that again. There's nothing wrong with calling out when we're under the water. Lord, help us. Deliver us from being under these waves. Deliver us from the oppression of these circumstances, the fear and the terror of these circumstances. There's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to pull us out and deliver us. But above the water is not the only version of deliverance that is available to us in Christ. See, the Lord doesn't want to subtract from our experience of Him. In other words, He doesn't want us to value less His pulling us out of the water. He doesn't want us to dismiss that or despise that or look at that as something not to be desired or not to be pursued. He does not want to subtract from our experience of Him. What He wants to do is add to it. He wants to enhance it. And that's why He wants to give us something more than a view of deliverance that is reflected by being out of the water. He wants us to also have a view of deliverance adding to that rescue. He wants to give us a view of deliverance that takes place under the water. He wants us to know that He is just as capable of performing miracles under the water as He is by pulling us out of the water. And so with that as a preface about praise the Lord when He lifts us out of the waters and don't despise that, but recognize that there's more. With that as a preface, I want to give you three exhortations this morning based on our text passage. The first one is this: open your eyes to underwater miracles. Open your eyes to underwater miracles. Many times when we go under, we're closing our eyes, we're holding our breath, we're thrashing, and we're desperately groping for the surface. Open your eyes to underwater miracles. Think of what Paul said in the verses that we just looked at. Paul said he was content. He said he was content. Now, contentment while being well, being well fed, as he said, contentment while being well fed is an above the water blessing. It's a natural blessing. It's what we all desire. It's what's comfortable. It's what our bodies are used to. It's what is expected. So he said he was content while being well fed, and that's an above the water blessing. Contentment while hungry is an underwater blessing. He said he was content when he was living in plenty, living with plenty. That's an above the water blessing. Contentment while being in need is an underwater blessing. And contentment in whatever circumstance, as he says here, I've learned the secret of being content in whatever circumstance I'm in, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is. Food or not, clothed or not, hungry, or, cold or not, sick or not, it doesn't matter what it is. Contentment in whatever circumstance. Now that is not just an underwater blessing, that's an underwater miracle. Contentment in whatever circumstance I am in. Oh Lord, is that even possible? Was Paul using hyperbole here? Is that really true? Is that what he really experienced? Well, let's look at what the scripture has to say about this. If you're taking notes, jot down 1 Corinthians 10:13, because this is what we read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." Thank you, Jesus. So when you are under water, brother or sister, ask yourself, what is the Lord providing for me down here? Open your eyes and ask that question prayerfully with meditation. Lord, what are you providing for me under here? Because certainly your word says that not only do you rescue us, but you give us the grace that we need to be able to endure whatever the temptation is, whatever the pressure is, whatever the waves may be that we are up under. You are willing and able to give me what I need to hang out down there, is what he's saying. Not just to be escaping, but to hang out down there. So ask yourself, Lord, what are you providing down here? I like what Brother Donnie McClurkin says. He says, after you've done all you can, just stand. Don't run, don't hide, just stand and look around and say, Lord, what are you giving me in this place? The dear sister who sang, "It is well with my soul," that I was referencing in the devotional piece that I read to you, that dear sister is our own Grace White. And Grace doubled down on it a little bit later on, and she said, the emphasis is on thy will be done, thy will be done. You, Lord, you're the decision maker. You decide how long I'm going to be down here. You decide what I need while I'm down here. You are the one who understands the whole picture. Show me what I need to see while I'm under these waves. Help me to take advantage. Help me to appropriate the grace that you said is sufficient for whatever my situation is. So, brothers and sisters, when you're under the water, don't just close your eyes and hold your breath waiting for that day when you get pulled out. Say, Lord, what are you providing down here? Open your eyes, because there's not just deliverance. There's wonders down there. There are things about God himself that he wants to show you while you're under the water. Lord, help me to see you. You're my hiding place. Let me see you while I'm under these waves. Open your eyes to the grace he's giving you. Open your eyes to what he's doing. Open your eyes to the daily bread he is providing you. Open your eyes to the step-by-step energy that he's giving you. The little piece of light that you can step in a big old vast room of darkness. Step into that light and there will be light for the next step. Don't hold your breath waiting on God to do what you're asking him to do. Don't hold your breath waiting for God to do what you're asking him to do. Open your eyes to what he is doing and ask him to help you and breathe while you're under there. So that's thing one. The second exhortation I want to give you is this one. Open your eyes to the presence of the Lord with you, or open your eyes to the Lord's presence. You know, brothers and sisters, if I was here to entertain you, if I was an entertainer and my goal here was to just make you feel jolly and make you have a good time, if I was here to entertain you, I would really wish I had something new to tell you than to focus on the Lord's presence with you. I would try to find some fresh material, in other words, because I say it all the time, and here Pastor is saying it all over again. Open your eyes to the Lord's presence. I mean, he packages it different ways. He puts it in different boxes. He serves it up on a different dish, but it always comes back in some way or another. When Pastor gets to talking, he's going to talk about the presence of the Lord. If I was an entertainer, I'd try to fool you a little bit. I'd try to mix it up a little bit better. But since I'm not here to entertain you, because I'm here to orient you to the truth, I'm kind of stuck. So here we go again. Open your eyes to the Lord's presence. You see, the truth is, when it comes to the supernatural results, when it comes to living under the water and breathing under the water and seeing the wonders under the water, when it comes to that truth, what we find in scriptures, whether it be Abraham and Sarah having a child well past their childbearing years, or whether it's Moses leading the Israelites out of bondage, or whether it's Joshua leading them into the promised land, or whether it's David's greatness, as it says in 2 Chronicles, David became greater and greater because the Lord was with him. Whether it's any of those scenarios or any of the others that you find in scripture that enrapture your soul as you read about the deliverance of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord, you won't find anything in the scriptures that is more often cited than the Lord simply saying to those miracle recipients, I will be with you, or I am with you. You won't find a greater assurance than that is repeated more often than that. So whenever we're talking about a supernatural effect in our lives, we would be amiss to not mention the relevance of being aware of the presence of the Lord with us. Even in the New Testament, when Jesus gave the disciples, and I know I said this a couple weeks ago, to go into all the world, the assurance that he gave them, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That was the plan. And when Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote these words, everybody deserted me, Timothy. Everybody took off and left me alone. Then he follows it with this, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. And even in our text verse, Paul said, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And so he says he's learned this secret. And guess what the secret is? He says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. The secret wasn't a technique. The secret wasn't a spiritual strategy. The secret wasn't some mystical thing that Paul figured out, some incantation that he was able to say. The secret was not that Paul was spending his time in the cell strengthening his contentment muscles by his own effort. No, the secret is not a thing. The secret is not a strategy. The secret is not in it. The secret is in the very next verse, which we quote all the time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not a technique. It's a person. So when you're under the water, look for the person. Look for the person, not the strategy, not the technique. Look for the person. In Habakkuk 3, you've heard me quote this many times. Essentially, he said, I don't have any figs. I planted them, but the fig tree's not bearing any. I don't have any grapes. I planted a vine, but there are no grapes on it. I don't have any olives. I don't have any livestock. And yet I'm rejoicing. And why am I rejoicing? Because the sovereign Lord is with me. Because the sovereign Lord is equipping me to walk on the heights. So when you're under the water, brothers and sisters, no matter how familiar the truth is to you, no matter how frequently you hear me give you that truth, remember the Lord's presence with you under the water is the blessing that he wants you to see. And he wants you to appropriate so you're not gasping and thrashing and holding your breath waiting on God. Why are you waiting on God when God is down there with you? The secret is not just learning to breathe underwater, but there's a secret to being able to stand literally in the fires of adversity. And these brothers were showing us what it was. They were standing, not only not holding their breath underwater, here they are standing in intense heat. And their secret was not fireproof suits. Their secret was not a flame resistant skin. Their secret was that fourth person that the king saw in the fire with them, the presence of the living God in the fire with them. And if we move on, we talked about it. We can talk about these heroes in the scripture. And we were familiar with them, but I want to talk about a hero in our church, Elder Bill Newell. In our leaders meeting yesterday, when we were talking about our journeys and sharing prayer requests and ministry reports, Bill piped up and Elder Bill said, you know, I got a few challenges in my life right now. And I often find myself paralyzed with fear and paralyzed in anxiety. Stuff's not going right in my life sometimes. But I also find, he said, that God responds and delivers me from my fears as the prayers are on my lips, or even just in my mind. The fear, the anxiety is instantly gone. Jesus is so faithful and kind to me. Brother Bill is talking about breathing under the waters. He didn't say, you know, I'm paralyzed with fear and anxiety, and I hit my knees and I pray and whew, God takes it away. Thank you, Jesus, for getting me out of these waves. No, I'm still out here, brothers. I'm still down, his sisters, but God is so kind to me. Jesus is so kind to me. He ministers to me under the waves. Thank you, Jesus. See, here's what we need to know, brothers and sisters. God is as present. God is as caring. God is as marvelous under the water as he is above it. In all your work-related stress, he is with you under the water. In all the COVID mess and distress, he is with you. In all of our family challenges, he is with us. In all of the plots of the evil one, as we are talking this month about spiritual warfare, he is with us. In every bout that you have with moodiness, with discouragement, with fear, with a lack of zeal, being flat, feeling like your effervescence in the spirit is like a flat soda that's been out all night or out all week in the sun, and it has no foam, no fizzle, no buzz to it at all. He is with you in all of those moments. And when you think about it, what more do you need? When you think about it, what more do you need but to realize that he is with you? We just talked about this last week. I will not fear because you're with me. But you see, I'm going on and on. I have something different to say, but it's the same thing. Don't ignore the precious gift of his presence with you when you're under the water. When you think about it, what more do you need? What more could you want? And yet, there is more. God has given us still more. And this is number three. When you're under the water, open your eyes to the Lord's promises. Open your eyes to the Lord's promises. You know, Ephesians 6, which talks about the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, we are instructed that God's word is the sword of the Spirit. Many people often point out when they're sharing that passage that of all of the armor that's listed, the sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon that we have against the evil one. I wouldn't take that too literally because I think prayer is definitely an offensive weapon. But Ephesians 6 says that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And in 2 Peter 1:4, it says this, that God has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, through those promises, we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. When we are under the water, God gives us his precious promises as a means of escape, as a means of being able to endure it, as a means of being able to hold on to something other than our breath while we are going through tribulations. As Paul said, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. That's a statement that Paul made about his experience. And once again, it wasn't Paul's strength. He said, I can do all things through Christ who is giving me the strength. And the statement tells us that Christ can empower us. Just as he empowered Paul, he can empower us to handle anything. Isn't that great? He can empower us to handle anything. And if you think that's great, let me tell you something. We've got an even stronger promise than that. And that promise is in Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. And this is what it says. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen and hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. He doesn't give us just the power to handle everything. That would be enough because once you've handled everything, what's left? Well, what's left is the ability to be able to handle that which we can't even imagine. So if you can imagine it, your power to handle it is beyond that. And that is what the scripture is telling us that God can give us the ability not only to handle everything, but to overwhelmingly handle it, even that which we can't imagine. You want to hear another promise? While you're under the water, take a look at this. It says in Romans 12, God's will is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. God's will for you, brother and sister, as it is manifesting itself at this very moment, whatever your situation may be, God's will for you at this moment is good, and it is acceptable, and it is perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Don't ever think saying to the Lord, your will be done. Don't ever think that saying to the Lord, your will be done, and then surrendering your heart to his decision making. Don't ever think that that's resignation. Don't ever think that you are settling for less. Because God's will is always good, it's acceptable, and perfect. And therefore, it is always an upgrade from our own plans. It is for your good. It is not beyond your ability and your ability to accept it. And it is ultimately perfect, good, acceptable, and perfect. It is an upgrade. Now, that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, let me jump in here real quick and say, that doesn't mean that God's will being good, acceptable, and perfect means that it's always easier or that it's always more pleasant. No, there are some things that are a lot easier and a lot more pleasant than God's will sometimes. But pleasant and easier are not necessarily better. Can I get an amen? Pleasant and easier are not necessarily better. See, I can click off a number of things that are pleasant. I can click off a number of things that are easy, but they aren't good for me. And even though they are good to me, if I do them long enough, they won't even be that anymore. They won't even be good to me. After a while, I'll become exhausted. I'll become disillusioned. I'll become, as the French use the word, effete, where you're just exhausted on pleasures and they don't give you pleasure anymore. So God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect, and it is best for me. Regardless of what the flesh says or the world says, God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Let me read a little something to you that I wrote to myself. God does not see as man sees, and as we grow closer to him, neither will we see as man sees. We will never be able to see into the heart of another person like God, but we will begin to value the things God values. We will also increasingly see ourselves the way God sees us, and we will begin to experience freedom from self-limiting attitude, where it's all about pleasure. That's a self-limiting attitude. We will walk among others with confidence rooted in the love and faithfulness and the power of our living Savior. We will not be daunted by the size of the challenge or the trial. If we do not want to be limited by self-doubt, let us not make self the source of our confidence. The reason David ran up to face Goliath was because he did so in the name of the living God. He was operating in the realm of what I call invincible dependence, not self-reliance. And the way that we exercise that invincible dependence is by appropriating God's promises, but by believing that what God said he's going to do, he will do. That what God says is true, is truth indeed. And not to be deceived by the way it appears, not to be deceived by what somebody else says, not to be deceived by how it feels, not to be deceived by what somebody else told you they experienced, but to trust in the promises of the living God, as Abraham did, without wavering and looking at his natural circumstances. He didn't waver in unbelief, but believed that what God had promised, he was able to perform. That's what I'm talking about when I say open your eyes to God's promises when you're under the water. Listen to this. In Hebrews 11, when we're reading in Hebrews 11, a lot of times we talk about how the first part of Hebrews 11 talks about how people conquered by faith. But listen to the last half. We don't preach about this last half too much, because these are people who were walking by faith too. And listen to what their experience was. It says in Hebrews 11, 35 through 40, is that faith chapter where it talks about all the great heroes of faith. Listen to this. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Now listen about the others. Others were tortured and refused to be released. What is that? Tortured and refused to be released. That's underwater miracles at work. That is an underwater blessing. That's an underwater miracle taking place. They were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Listen to the others. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, not just a little bit of, you know, thin times, destitute, poor, poverty stricken, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Listen to this. Yet none of them received what had been promised. They lived their whole lives under the water. They were never pulled out to the surface. It says that they died without receiving what had been promised, because God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Here's my point. God was able to sustained them with a promise that wasn't to be fulfilled in their lifetime. He was able to give them that kind of endurance, that kind of strength. He was able to feed them through a promise that wouldn't be fulfilled in their lifetime. He was able to help them to breathe under the most arduous waves, the most arduous circumstances. You see, I've received a lot of distressing calls as a pastor over my years as a pastor. I've received a lot of distressing calls saying, "Pastor, pray for me." But no one has ever called me and said, "Pastor, pray for me because they're about to saw me in two." That's pretty drastic. And yet, this is what we have here, these people being sustained by God's promises through that kind of persecution and that kind of suffering. They would tell you it wasn't us. They would tell you it wasn't our strength. They would say God promised us something, and through that promise, he infused us with hope, with joy, with perseverance that was beyond our own strength. Just like Paul, it's not my strength. I'm doing it through Christ who strengthens me. But the tool that he will use sometimes are the promises that we have in his word. Now, I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. I know I've shared this a bunch of times, but I got to say it again just because it's so good. It's just so good. And it's so applicable here. Legendary martial arts expert and icon, Bruce Lee, once said that, he said, "I don't fear the man who knows 10,000 kicks. I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." You see, it's better to believe, brothers and sisters, it's better to believe one promise 10,000 times than to have 10,000 promises that you don't believe at all. What is your go-to promise? Hold on to that thing when you're under the water and you say, "Lord, by your power, make this promise a reality to me, and a reality to me, and not just an incantation, not just a chant, not just a religious recitation. Lord, use the power of your Holy Spirit to open my eyes to the blessing of this promise so that I am able to breathe under the water of this adversity through you." Don't hold your breath waiting on God, brothers and sisters. Don't hold your breath. Open your eyes to the underwater miracles that he is providing. Open your eyes to the underwater presence of the living God. Open your eyes to the underwater promises that he's given us. And breathe by faith in him. And I'm done. God bless you. Let's say our benediction, and then we'll have Brother George give us a worship offering. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. I love you all. I'll be praying for you all. Pray for me that God would help us to not hold our breath waiting on him.